Good morning, church. How are you doing? That's good. You're better than the weather? But then again, it's always good at this time of year. You get the variety, don't you? You get the four seasons. You get the rain, you get the sun, you get the cold, you get the hot, you get the cold and the hot and the rain and the sun all in the same day. It's always good in Melbourne. In Melbourne, praise God. I've been in Melbourne now 22 years. Originally from New Zealand, you might have the odd word slip through and you might go, oh, is he a Kiwi? Yes, I am. I'm an Aussie through and through, unless the All Blacks are playing, and then I'm a Kiwi, I'm sorry to say. Some of you go, who are the All Blacks? Don't worry about it. But it is so good to be here with you once again. And I just love every opportunity just to get together with God's people. It's a good thing. It's a really good thing. Bible says in Hebrews 10 that do not forsake the gathering together as some are in the habit of doing. And all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. I believe that church, coming to church, being with God's people has almost become an optional thing in this day and age. A lot of people come once, twice a month, or it's very easy to skip together. And we almost look at it as almost like a legal thing. I need to go to church, or I get in trouble if I'm not at church. Do you know what? I discovered the longer I'm walking with God, the more I'm discovering it's not that I have to go to church, or it's I get to go to church. It's not that I have to pray, it's that I get to talk to God. It's not that I have to read His Word, but I get to get instruction and guidance from the Word of God. It's shifted that I'm not obligated to do, but I'm invited to do. And I just want to encourage you, let's not forsake the gathering together, as some are in the habit of doing. Do you know what? I discovered that habits never ever start as habits. Have you ever discovered that? Anyone that's caught in a habit of whatever it may be, it's only once, it's only twice, I can stop where I want, I can do it when a habit never starts as a habit. And it's interesting that it uses that word, isn't it, in Hebrews 10. Do not forsake the gathering together, some are in the habit of doing. It never started, it was just once, it was just twice, it's just, let's gather together. Because that's where you're encouraged. Didn't you feel the presence of God today? Can I encourage you when you sing the songs? Think about the words that you sing. I reckon probably some of the greatest theology that we hear today is in the songs that we sing. Just incredible. But you can lose it. You can miss it when you're just singing a song. Oh, that's a nice tune. There's power. The victor's crown. Come on. There's awesome power. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold will be broken in Jesus' name. One of the songs that we sang was God is here and He is able. Can I ask you a question? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? See, it's not just here, this building. It's here. See, when I'm singing God is here, I'm singing here. I love the fact that the God I'm getting to know and love more and more never leaves me, never forsakes me. That's a good thing. You know what? Wherever I go, there God is. Wherever you go, there God is. When you're here today, God's there. When you're in your room at night, when it's dark and you are alone, God is there. That's a good thing. God is with you as much in the mountain as He is with you in the valley and vice versa. When things are going brilliant, God is there. When things are turned pear-shaped, God is there. This is absolutely truth. But do you believe it? God is here and God is able. Even as I was singing that song, I just felt to look at that word able, and this is what it says about it: having the power, skill, means, or opportunity to do something. Do you believe that God has the power, the skill, the means, and the opportunity to do something in your life? Because God is able. God is able. Hey, this couple back here, I assume you're a couple. Yeah, you too? Yeah, that's good, because you are now. It's always good. The amount of times I put people together when I'm speaking, it's always wonderful. As I glanced at you just during the worship, I just felt God say He's inviting you at this time of your life to another level. And you really need to latch onto the word inviting you. That's what I was just saying. Not obligated, not saying, Father saying, you guys are mucking around, you guys aren't hitting the mark. No, no, no. He takes us from glory to glory to glory. It's a beautiful thing in God. But there's an invitation from God. I just felt so lovingly from God as I glanced around in worship. He's inviting you to a new levels. And I just felt that part of the way that you'll go, just in the deeper things in God, another level in life, is viewing obstacles as opportunities. Challenges that come up, they're not obstacles to stop you from getting through. They're opportunities for the supernatural, for God to show himself in your life. And I think it's just as you move forward, there's going to almost be a bit of a view change. And maybe this is for a lot of people here, viewing obstacles as opportunities. The Red Sea wasn't an obstacle, it was an opportunity. You know, the Lazarus in the tomb wasn't an obstacle, it was an opportunity. It's how we view these things. And I just want to encourage you, there's another level. And is this your daughter? That's great. There's something wonderful, touch of God upon your life. And I just felt to encourage you, you'll even discover things about God through your daughter. I would normally say to young people, you can discover it through your parents, but there's even something that's a two-way thing here, that you'll even show your mum and dad some things about God as you just keep on loving him. So I want to bless you guys as a family. Is that cool? And sir, what's your name?
Amos.
Bless you, sir. I just felt that God's deposited in your life for many, many years, decades. And the Bible talks about the word of God waits for an appointed time. I think you're coming into your appointed time. I think you've done some great things. God's done some wonderful things. But you're coming into another appointed time where that which has been stored up and cultivated in your life for many years and decades, it's going to work its way out, a new expression of what God's been doing in your life. I release it over you. When I say God is here, God is able. Hey, what do I want to do? Are you good? Are you doing good this morning? Wonderful. I just want to pray, and I just want to, God's given me a bunch of things for you guys as a church. I think it's a strategic time in your church. Do you believe that? There's a strategic time in your life personally. You're not here by accident today. And I want to speak this whole morning to individuals and to the corporate at the same time. Is that cool? So one of the things I love about God, he can speak to everyone at the same time and say something different to every person. He's just good like that. See, I can only say one thing to you at a time. I mean, not just because I'm a male and I can only say one thing at a time or do one thing at a time, but because I'm a human, I'm limited that way. But God's not. God is without limit. He's limitless, isn't he? There's nothing he cannot do. And he can speak to every individual while speaking to the corporate. So can we pray? Is that cool? And you're going to be sitting down just for a little bit. So how about we just stand and just honor God as we pray. And then I'm going to share just what God has really laid upon my heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you that you are here. We don't invite you to come because you never left. We acknowledge that you are here and that you are able. I just really feel, even as I was saying that, God, for some of us in this room today, we really, really just need a revelation from God on those two things, that God is here and God is able. That God is here and God is able. So Father, in every heart, would you bring revelation of truth in Jesus' name? Would you help me to say all that is on your heart? Nothing more, nothing less. Lord, and we open up our hearts to receive. Lord, would you speak to us, Holy Spirit? Empower us, enlarge us, but let your smile be upon our time around your word. Your smile, Lord. Let everyone know and feel the goodness of God. Right now, I release the goodness of God upon your life. I release the kindness of God, the smile of God, the joy of the Lord upon your life in Jesus' name. Oh, the impossibilities, I declare possibilities. Oh, the improbable, I declare possible and probable in Jesus' name, oh God. That which is dead, I call and speak life over it in Jesus' name. Lord, that which was blind, blind, I declare sight. That which is deaf, I declare hearing in Jesus' name. Lord, where there is confusion, I speak clarity and wisdom of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where there is lack, I speak provision in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare the opposite of your current situation. If you're in a place of need, I declare, oh God, that he shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Lord, do the supernatural, do the impossible. As we're faithful with that which you've called us to do, would you do that which we cannot? Father, right now we declare salvation and life to the prodigals, to those that are far off in Jesus' name. If you can take Saul of Tarsus, Lord, and change him into the great apostle Paul, a terrorist into an apostle. Father, there is no one in our world, no one in our life, no young person, no older person, no parent, no child, no cousin, no brother, no friend, and no enemy that is too far from the reach of the God's love. And right now together as a church, we would prophesy to St. Albans and beyond, Lord, we would prophesy salvation and life. We would prophesy goodness and kindness. We would prophesy revelation of the knowledge of the goodness and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as the waters cover the sea, we pray, oh God, that you, the glory of the Lord would cover this earth again. Lord, cover this earth again. Lord, in our worlds, in our families, in our workplaces, oh God. Lord, at our shops, Lord, in places of government, Lord, we're asking for a revelation of the goodness of God. Lord, at this Christmas time coming up, Lord, where people are talking about the nativity scene in Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray now that he will not be reduced to just a story, to just a baby in a manger, oh God. Lord, not even to a man upon a cross or a good man that walked around and healed people. But Lord, we pray for revelation that they see the Son of God as God the Son. They'll see him as the Savior of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we prophesy and say, Lord, let it be done according to your word. And we say, Lord, would you use us for your glory? May we always reflect and reveal the goodness of God. May our lives be a living testimony. May we be ones that can say, like the Apostle Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. Would you help us as people in this church to be an example in speech, in love, in life, in faith, in purity, oh God? Would we be ones that, Lord, when things go wrong, we respond right? Lord, when we be ones that when people criticize us, that we bless and do not curse? Lord, that we are ones that even when their enemies come in against us and hard press us, oh God, may we be ones, Lord, that show the love of Christ and not the anger and the reaction and the frustration of man. I just feel prophetically for some people here, there's some enemies in your life that you've been almost fighting against, and God says it's time to love. The Bible says, love your enemies, do good to them, bless them, and do not curse. This is what the Bible says. It's an upside down kingdom. It's a different way. God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. They're higher. They're greater. But let me tell you right now that God's way is always best. It's always right. And it will always set you up to walk in the fullness of the blessings of God. God says it's time to bless your enemies, to pray for them, to do them good. Father, right now, would you just reveal to people, Lord, if there needs to be a shift, a change in how they deal with some people that are opposing them, would they show love? Would they show love? Now, I just want to speak into this, just while you're standing in prayer, just I'm speaking to your spirit right now. I just get a picture then of, you know, we celebrate the fact that Saul became the Apostle Paul. But do you know that he only became the Apostle Paul because someone prayed for him, and that someone was a man named Stephen who was being stoned to death. And it says, and they laid their cloaks at the one called Saul who was standing there. So talk about the greatest enemy in the world. He was literally, physically killing him. And it says, and Stephen said, Lord, do not charge this sin against them, Lord. Lord, I just pray that rather than punish them, you will bless them, you will reveal yourself to them. And Saul became Paul because Stephen prayed for his enemies and did not react and fight against. I just want to prophesy over your life that there is literally some salvation coming to some enemies if you will turn your your accusations and your attacks into prayers and blessings. Father, would you give us the strength to do this? Would we be more concerned with people's walk with you than our rights? Would we fight for people and not fight for our rights? Thank you, God, for your good. God, would you speak to us so incredibly clearly today through your word, and everyone that is just ready and hungry said amen. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. God is so good, is he not? He is so wonderful, so good. And it is a pleasure to be here. So many good people in one room. You're a good man, sir. I want to get into what God gave me here today. And I felt God tell me to speak into your calling and into your purpose, both individuals and as a church. Does that sound all right? Can I speak into your calling? Can I speak into your purpose? Because some of us are unsure of what that is. Some of us even doubt that God has a calling, has a purpose. Those that just went through Alpha, God's got a calling, God's got a purpose. Those that have been in church for 20, 30, 40, I'm not even going to guess how many years, God has a plan and purpose for your lives. And let me start by declaring this over you. God's plan is immeasurably bigger than you think. Anyone say amen to that? See, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, it says, now to him who is able to do what? Immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power, listen to the wording, that is at work within us. See, he's able to do immeasurably more, not just to us, but in us and through us. We need a revelation in our lives. It's not just for the saved and sanctified few. It's not for the chosen few. It's not just for me. It's not just for Billy Graham. It's not just for a few, but for everyone. The Bible says, if you believe, you'll do what Jesus did in great. And I want to tell you that God is able to do immeasurably more according to his power. I think we believe that God is able to do immeasurably more according to his power. But the context is, that's within you. And then the next one says this, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. We know that there's glory in Christ Jesus, but he says, no, look at the context. I'm able to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine, according to my power that's in you. And when this happens and you start to believe this and you start to walk in this, I get glory in the church as well as in Christ Jesus. It says throughout all generations. That includes you and me, doesn't it? Are we part of all generations? So God says, I am able to do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine in your life and through your life. In fact, God would say to you, us today, that's how I get glory in my church. My church should not just be a better version of a non-Christian club. My church is a place where the power of God resides in every person and flows through every person. I want to declare over your life. I want to declare over my life. Can I declare over my life while I'm preaching? Is this cool? Can I talk to me as much as I talk to you? See, I'm on a journey. We're doing this thing together. Is that right, Pastor Chris? It's not about you come up to my greatness. No. On this journey, I love Jesus. Didn't he just walk with people? Just talk to people wherever he was. It wasn't just him up there and speaking down to people. He talked to people where they are. He said, come on, I want to come to your home. Can we hang out? Can we talk a little bit here? And this is where I come to you today, that God is able to do immeasurably more than his vision, his calling, his purpose for our lives is immeasurably larger than you think. But the good thing about that is so too is his power in us and through us. It would be terrible. It would be frustrating. It would be devastating if God's vision and purpose for my life was bigger than his power. Did you hear what I said? But I want to tell you, his power is equal to the task of his vision and his calling over your life. To the one sitting in the back row, to the front row, from the right to the left, I want to tell you, sound desk, every person, that God's power available to you and through you is equal to the immeasurably more than calling that God has upon your life. So I just want to start to speak prophetically in what I felt God say. Can we do that together? Amen. Wonderful. I'm just going to open this. This looks good. Bet you all wish you were preaching now, eh? Here we go. This is what I felt God say. God's desire for you as a church is from addition to multiplication. Let me just start here. In your own life, grab this word. It's from addition to multiplication. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47, let me read the word of the Lord. From addition to multiplication. This is what it says. Acts chapter 2, 46 and 47. Every day. Everyone say every day. That's good. That's nice. Say it one more time. Every day. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And I just felt God say they are committed to relationships. And that's something that God's calling us to be, committed to relationships. They met together every day. And then it says they broke bread in their homes and they ate together. As well as committed relationships, we need committed fellowship. We need committed fellowship. And they ate together in their homes with gladness of their hearts, praising God. I love that. I love that. I love it. I love it. I love the fact that they met together. They broke bread, but right in there, inserted in there, they were praising God. They had the right focus. Our relationships need to have the right focus. When we get together, do we just talk about the problems that we see around about us? Do we just talk about what is devastatingly happening in this world? Do we talk about just the challenges in our own life? Or when we get together, I'm not just talking in church. I'm talking outside of our church. Do we get together and do we praise God? I reckon it's a great time for Christians to get together and start to testify about what God is doing in their life, because they're looking for the goodness of God. You will always have challenges, but you will always have God doing something good in your life too. But many times we miss the good that God is doing because all we're doing is looking at the challenges. And it says, how about we lift up our eyes? How about we start to in everything give thanks, rejoice in the Lord always. God is always doing something good in your life. And it's time for us to stop looking at the problems and start looking at the answer. It is. It's time for the church to be the most grateful, thankful, overflowing people. But Steve, you don't know how many problems I got. Paul and Silas are beaten. They're stripped. They're in prison for talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say, this is a good time to give praise. And they start to praise and celebrate. And at midnight, at the darkest time of the night, the prison doors came open. They were set free. But what happened? They led people to salvation. Why? Because they praised in prison. And I want to declare to you today that your prison is not your problem. Your lack of praise is. It's time for the church to praise. In everything, give thanks. Praise. God is so... Oh! Could almost preach myself happy this morning. There is always something to be thankful about with our God and to our God. Always, always, always. If we can't give thanks, it's probably because our focus is in the wrong place. See, if you fix your eyes on Him, you're going to start to bubble over and give thanks even if you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. I was in New Zealand last week and God dropped that phrase and most of what I've said so far, I haven't intended to say. This is just, I'm just listening to the Holy Spirit. Is this okay? Yes. I want to declare over your life. We talked about, we know in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Does anyone know that? God showed me something I hadn't seen before last week and He showed me this. Well, you know what? It doesn't say that I walk through the valley of death. It's not even the valley of death, what we're going through. But we think it's death. Is this ever going to change? This is where it's going to end. My marriage is not going to get better. The kids are not going to come home. The finances are never going to turn around. I'm always going to be emotionally bound. It's almost like this is the end. And you know what the Bible says? It says, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know what a shadow is? It looks like the thing that it represents, but it's not. It is powerless. And we've been duped. We think we're going to die here. And God says, it's not even the valley of death. It's the valley of the shadow of death, and we're scared of a shadow. And God says to His people today, my power is in you, and you can do everything that God has called you to do. Amen. Praise when you're in your valley of the shadow of death is much more, I reckon, impressive to God than thanking God when he brings you out of the valley of the shadow of death. Now, thankfulness is essential. Jesus healed 10 lepers. They went away. How many came back? One. And Jesus said, hang on, wasn't there 10? It is a good thing to give thanks to God. When God does something, let's give thanks. Children of Israel brought out of Egypt. And they took them across the Red Sea. And he said, set up memorial stones. Tell your children and your children's children, don't stop giving thanks, because people move on and they start to complain. And we need to give thanks. And it is awesome to give thanks when God does something in your life. But I want to tell you what's more powerful. When you praise him beforehand, that is actually by faith. And that pleases God. I once heard someone say, I think it was Bishop T.D. Jakes, and he talks about the fact that God says, owe no man anything. And God is a one who pays his debts. He doesn't want anyone to owe, because he doesn't like that. He says, owe no man. So when you praise in advance for something that God hasn't done, you actually put God into a place where he needs to pay his debt. If he says that, you know what, it's my will that none should perish, and you start to pray for people for salvation, God says, well, they're praising me, they're thanking me, and they haven't received it yet. I better get in on the action. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's time to praise before we see. Praise before we see. See, you know, it's even that, if we say, I can't because of the situation, that itself highlights something to me. If I was to say that, that says I'm thanking God for the resolution of the situation is even more important to me, what God does for me, than praising him for who he is. The most important thing is not what God does for you, but who he is. Most important thing is I've got God, not that he answers all my questions and he fixes all my problems. Where do we shift in modern Christianity that the purpose of God is to make your life delightful and easy? Maybe if we shift the focus that the greatest treasure in life, you know what the greatest treasure in life is? It's not that God meets your needs and God answers your prayers and God changes your situation. The greatest treasure is God himself. And he actually said that to Abram, I am your exceedingly great, reward. I am your treasure. The greatest joy of my life is I've got God. Do you know that the Bible even makes it clear that good and bad happens to good and bad people alike? Have you noticed that? Yeah. Have you noticed that some really bad people live a long time and some really good people die tragically at a young age? Have you noticed that? Yeah. Yeah. And so we've got to get rid of the theology that is what happens to people reflects their walk with God, because good and bad happens to good and bad alike. But here's the reality. I will walk through valley of shadows of death, and so will you. But I will fear no evil white, because God's with me. See the focus? God's with me. Not because he resolved it, but because he's with me in the valley of the shadow of death. He was with Joseph in Potiphar's house and in prison. He was with Paul and Silas in prison. He was with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. I love their heart. I love their, man, this is going a lot different, but God's encouraging me through his word right now. They even said, Nebuchadnezzar said, renounce this God or you're going to be thrown into the furnace. And what did they say? You know what? Our God is able to save us and he will. There's confidence. But even if he doesn't, we still will not throw away our confidence in God. I reckon that's the pinnacle of faith that I've seen in the Bible. God is able. Anyone can say God is able. And we can all say that. But God will. See, that's another level. Many of us believe God can do things in people's lives and around the world. But to be able to believe that God will do it in my life, that's a shift for some of us right now. But here's a deeper shift. And even if he doesn't, it doesn't prove that he is not faithful and that he is not good. We got to stop looking at evidence that we see, looking through, we see in part, we know in part. We got to stop drawing conclusions about God's nature by what we see happening in our lives. Some of us have determined and come to the conclusion that God is really not good and God is really not faithful because I asked for this and it did not happen. I want to tell you God's ways are higher and God's thoughts are higher and God's purposes are higher, and I see in part and I know in part. One day I'll know fully, but on the journey I realize that when there's the discrepancy, where there's a disconnect between what I believe should happen, what the Bible says should happen, and what actually happens in my life, it's never a lack on God's part. It's just I just don't fully see the picture, but I'm going to trust him anyway. What's the alternative? The alternative, cynical Christians, is non-believing believers. It's time for the church to believe again that God is always good and always faithful. Thank you, Father. Praising God. That was meant to be a passing comment. Someone here needed to hear it. Someone here needed to hear that today. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Isn't that a wonderful outcome? And the Lord added, I'm talking God's desire, prophetically speaking over your life in this church right now, is from addition to multiplication. Everyone say from addition to multiplication. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. That's heaven's priority. And I just want to speak over your life just for a moment. God wants to add daily here and multiply the addition elsewhere. You'll sit in this and God will start to reveal what this means. To add daily here. How many believe that God wants to add daily through Grow Church? Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is able?
Yes.
Do you believe that God actually wants to do that? See, God is doing more on this earth than we understand and realize. Because we see so much evil happening, because we turn on the news, we pick up the newspaper, and all you see is bad news, we can so subtly be drawn into the belief and the lie that actually says that the enemy is doing more in the world than God is doing. And I want to declare loud and bold, my God is doing more on this earth than the stinking devil is doing on this earth. But we got to start to look for it. God wants to add daily here and multiply the addition elsewhere. And so I just want to be speaking now prophetically into this church. I see missions increasing. And when God dropped this in my heart, I didn't know you were going overseas tomorrow. I told you that on the phone. I see missions increasing. And this is part of the multiplication of the addition. So what God's doing here, God wants to multiply this. Pastor Chris, I see you teaching leaders in other nations. And I don't know what you're doing overseas, but this is what God spoke to me about before when I was preparing back over there in the Southeast. I see you teaching leaders in other nations, and I see a profound and empowering and a transformational simplicity to your teaching. Profound, empowering, and transformational. And I felt prompted to look at those words. And the profound is having or showing great knowledge or insight. I believe God has given you that. Great insight, great knowledge. But I love this. And empowering gives someone the power or authority to do something. So what you got is you got this incredible insight, but it actually doesn't translate to, okay, that sounds good, but what do I do? No. You actually give them the power to be able to do something with this. And it's transformational, which means a thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance, the metamorphosis that we see in Hebrews 12. So this is awesome. This simple teaching that you are going to bring is profound. It is deep. It's great knowledge, but it's going to actually empower them to see a total transformation of their lives. Isn't this good?
Yeah.
This is through your pastor here today. And the result will be multiplication of the addition. I want you to be meditating on this. Multiplication of the addition. When you go out tomorrow, multiplication of the addition. God's going to add daily, but he wants to multiply that. I also see more missions teams going out from this church. God is going to increasingly put nations upon your heart, Pastor Chris. And with this, you will mobilize, prepare, organize for active service, a team to go with you, and the seeds this team sows will bear much fruit. There's a call for missions on this house. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. Muriel, I saw you, this is a lovely picture, I saw you as a nurturer and a goad. A nurturer and a goad. A nurturer says to care for, to encourage the growth or development of. It's beautiful. It's like a mother. A goad, provoke or annoy someone so as to stimulate some action or reaction. And here's the reality. Everyone needs both at times in our lives. Sometimes we just need the encouraging and the nurturing, and sometimes we need to be provoked to action. True? Yet many times, this is what God said, everyone needs both at times. Yet many people only know how to give one or the other. You got some people, all they do is encourage, encourage, encourage. They feel loved, nothing changes, but at least they feel loved. You got some people that all they do is they poke and poke, and sometimes they, it's always like, I've got to do something, but there's no, I don't feel any love from this person. But God is going to enlarge in you, God is enlarging you to excel at both. Nurture and goad, nurture and goad, nurture and goad. The result will be fully matured followers of Christ in your life. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk for a little bit here now. Just for a relatively brief period of time, I just want to talk a little bit about growth in our lives individually and corporately, okay? Because this name of this church is what? Grow. Say it again. Grow Church. That's I didn't name you. That's just what it says. And Grow Church. And the word grow means progress to maturity. Progress to maturity. The word maturity, fully developed. So grow in is progress to being fully developed. And the word progress means forward or onward movement towards a destination. So this is what grow means. There's forward movement towards the destination of being fully developed. Are you with me? This is what it means. And I want to say that no one is born mature. Anyone ever discovered that? If we're talking about fully developed, no natural baby was ever, that would be quite a scary sight. Come on, just be real. Those with little kids, they are totally dependent. They for everything, for feeding and for cleaning and for training, for developing. They are not fully developed. In fact, they're fully undeveloped, aren't they? So no person naturally is ever born fully developed. But we need to understand that no Christian is spiritually born fully developed. But so it's a journey, and the journey is an act of traveling from one place to another, and that this journey of maturity is from immaturity to maturity. From being, the Bible talks about just the milk. We survive just on the milk, and isn't that what an infant does? But let's go from milk to meat. You don't want to give your 3-week-old baby a steak. Well, actually, you might want to, but you shouldn't. It's on the milk, but if at the age of 21 or the age of 30, your child is still just on milk and dependent upon you completely, you have a problem. Yes? As Christians, we are invited. Everyone say invited. See, it's not that I have to grow up. It's I'm invited by God, because this is something that really started to grab my heart, and I just want to speak into this. One of the benefits of growing up is we get to enjoy our inheritance. See, a baby cannot fully appreciate or enjoy an inheritance from a parent, can it? In fact, it's put into trust to the older. And we are ones that we get to, God has given us an inheritance. Listen to what the word says in Romans 8:14-17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. That is good news. So many people think that when you come to Christ, you lose your freedom. No, you gain your freedom. You gain your freedom from condemnation and accusation and pain. You get your freedom from the guilt that you get your freedom from death. You get your freedom from the stuff that you don't want. See, freedom is not doing what you want. It's free from what you don't want. So that you will live in fear again, but rather the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. That is such a beautiful phrase. Do you notice it doesn't talk to you and hear about when you accept Christ, you become a son, but it's an adoption to sonship? Have you ever thought, why adoption to sonship? Here's the deal. Anyone by your own choice, I know it's not accidental, but just go with me for the sake of this illustration. People can accidentally get pregnant. I wasn't expecting, I wasn't planning, I accidentally. So you can have someone that becomes a son or a daughter accidentally. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not planned, it's accidental. And sometimes in terrible situations, the child is rejected or resented because that wasn't planned. But no one accidentally adopts. Think about this for a moment. Adoption is someone saying, I have enough love that I choose to bring someone into my world because I've got enough love to change their life and add to their life and give to their life and nurture them and love on them. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, yeah, natural sonship, natural daughtership, that can happen accidentally and end up in rejection. But if you choose to adopt, it's even a higher level of love. And God says, I am choosing. You are not a son or a daughter of God because God has to accept you because you chose him. The Bible says, I did not choose him, but he chose me. This is love. Not that I love God, but he loved me. He reached down to you and me when we were sinners. And he says, even in your filthy, messy state, I want you. God doesn't have to accept you. He wants you adopted to sons and daughters. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Inheritance. All that God gave Jesus, God has given you. Everything that God gave Jesus, what Father gave Jesus, he says, I'm giving it to you. To the point that Jesus, when they said, how do we pray? He says, my Father, your Father, our Father in heaven. Everything Father's given me, he's given you because we've got the same Father. And the word co-heirs means participant in common. Everything that Father gave Jesus, Father's given us. Isn't that good news? And so I want to encourage you in that. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance in God's holy people. The riches of his glorious inheritance. It's not a laborsome, burdensome thing. Oh, the inheritance of God. And I want to encourage you to lean into that today. And so I want to ask you a couple questions here. And we're going to wrap up very, very soon. This growth, this journey towards maturity, this forward movement towards being fully developed, which means we can therefore enjoy this inheritance from God and walk in it, because the more you know who you are in God, the more you know who God is, the more you will be able to receive and walk in your inheritance. So I have a couple questions. What is the next step of growth God has planned for you? What is the next step of growth God has planned for you? Personally, what is God asking you to stop doing right now or to start doing right now today? I want you to think about this. If it's about journeying towards God and becoming fully developed, there's some things in your world that God might say, today I want you to stop doing that. Or today I want you to actually start doing that. As a church, I felt God asked, what is God asking you to start doing or stop doing in this season? I believe that's something for you guys in the elders to consider. If this is about moving forward towards being fully mature and developed. How many people know there's seasons in God? And there's seasons in the natural? Spring, summer, autumn, winter, there's seasons in our lives. There's seasons in God. And in those seasons, sometimes it's about recognizing the good things that you need to stop doing for something better. It's not just about stopping bad things. Sometimes it's about stopping doing good things. Sometimes the greatest enemy of the best is the good that we have been doing for 10, 15, 20 years. Why are you doing it? Because I've always done it. That's not a good enough reason to continue doing it. We need to hear what God is saying. It's time to stop. It's time to start. Are you hearing me, church? Because in your personal world, some of you in your business, it's time to step back and say, God, what do we stop? What do we start? And there's an inheritance for God. And I've felt God say, encourage them to beware of the little foxes. Beware of the little foxes. In our growth, in our forward momentum towards maturity, towards being fully developed, the Bible talks about not being ignorant of Satan's schemes. There's an enemy that comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's called the deceiver of the brethren. He would try to drag us away. And have you noticed that his greatest tool is questions? Did God really say that? If you are the Son of God? If you are in a place where you are just bombarded by questions that are sort of keeping you back from really moving forward with God, questions about things in your life, things about God, can I encourage you right now, and some of you really need to listen to me right now because this is freedom. I'm about to speak into your life. If you have paused from moving forward or even stepped back because of questions, I want to encourage you, who is the author of the questions? It's the enemy. That's the way he does it. And God said clearly to Adam and Eve, don't touch this because if you do, you'll die. This is a God who is protecting them from death, not controlling them. He's loving them that much. And the enemy came and said, did God really say that? Is that really what he meant? And when questions keep us from moving forward, I want to encourage you, let's not buy into the enemy's lies and schemes. I want to expose them today. Those questions are often the little foxes because they sound so logical, don't they? They sound so reasonable. But I should ask that question. I shouldn't just blindly follow. But if it keeps us from connecting with God, I want to say to you, it ain't God that's bringing the questions and it's not just you. Because the enemy's greatest priority in your life is not getting you to do something bad, it's keeping you from relationship with God. We think the greatest problem in our life is the presence of sin. It ain't the presence of sin. It's either the presence or the absence of God that is the most important thing in our life, not the presence or absence of sin. And sin is actually not the destination. It's just a tool the enemy uses to keep us from God. So it's not about removing sin to make us good because we're made good in Christ. It's the righteousness of Christ that's in us. You know what? If you're a Christian and on a day you sin or on a day you don't sin, I know I'm about to stretch you theologically, you are no less or more righteous whether you sinned or not. Is that true, Pastor Chris? Because if you say, but hang on, I've sinned, so today I'm less righteous, that means you're talking about self-righteousness. I'm righteous because of Christ and what Christ has done. We've got to become less sin conscious and more God conscious. And the enemy's greatest desire is not to get you to sin, but to keep you from God. So let's not let us questions. God said, beware of the little foxes. For some of you this day, the questions that you have are the little foxes. And this is what it says in Song of Solomon 2 verse 15. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. So here's my question, person. What little things could have a big negative impact on your life? As a church, what good things could keep you from God's best things? And finally here, I want to say this as we talk about moving forward in God. What are the key alliances in your life? What are the key alliances in your life? This is what an alliance is. A union or an association, a relationship formed for mutual benefit. For mutual benefit. I'm not talking structurally, I'm talking relationally here. What are the key relationships, reliances in your life? The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And so here's my question personally. What relationships is God asking you to step back from? And what relationships is God asking you to further commit to? There's some relationships in some of your lives that every time you're around them, you find yourself slipping downwards. Can I love you enough to say, what are you going to do about that? But I'm there to reach them. Well, if you're there to reach them and every time you are being pulled back into their ways, who's reaching who? Your desire to reach someone that is actually causing you to step away from God, I'm going to love you enough to say it's not God's intention for you to stay investing into that relationship. Let someone else do it. God's big enough. Do you believe that? God's big enough to bring someone on. We've got to be wise today. Is this right, Pastor Chris? We need to be wise. Some relationships are hurting us at school. Some people that do you good, some people that when you're around them, that you always feel good, you feel better about yourself, then hang around those people. There's some people that you always feel, have you noticed some people, even adults, you're around and you always leave feeling worse about yourself, feeling like you've been contaminated, feeling like you've been dumped on? Am I talking anyone's language? God says, what are you going to do about those relationships? Some of you need to step back. You might sound, that almost sounds anti-Bible. No. I'm talking about if it results in you stepping back from God. If it results in you doing some things that you don't want to do. If it results in a negative effect in your life, God is saying your growth, your stepping towards Him is too important. And He says, what are the alliances in your life? And that's personally, but corporately as a church, Pastor Chris and Muriel and elders, what relationships do you good as a church and will help you achieve all that's on God's agenda? It's time to look at your strategic alliances, the ones that are going to move you forward into the fullness. So God has a plan and includes you. Is that good news or is that good news? God has a plan and includes us, and it's immeasurably larger than we think. And so we're going to just pray and finish right now. But here's my question. Is every eye closed just right now? Will you be part of what God is doing on this earth? Do you want to accept the invitation to be part of what God is doing? I don't want to just be someone that does people good. I don't want to be someone that just achieves 70% of what God has planned for me. If someone said in a meeting once that we should be ones that when we die empty of the seeds of potential that God placed in us from birth. And I just want to declare, I want to fulfill all that's on God's heart for me and through me for the glory of God. But it's time for the church to have forward movement toward Ward's been fully developed. That's growth. We want to be ones that walk in the fullness of God's inheritance. Beware of the little foxes, the questions, the relationships that keep us from God. Today, I just want to pray for those that want to dedicate themselves afresh to completing God's plan for your life. Being fully developed, fully mature. And if that's you, you want to say, you want, I do. I just want to dedicate myself afresh to God. So you might be walking with God for 40 years. It's a great thing to say, God, just all of me. You've got it all. You've got it all. And I want to complete everything that you've assigned for me. Everything that you've assigned for me. And if that's you, you just want to stand with me and say, afresh, God, I'm all yours. I want to be fully developed, fully mature, and I want to lead other people into that place of maturity. Would you just stand with me right now across this auditorium? If you want to say, God, all this on your heart. All this on your heart. Father, right now, as people are standing and reaching out to you, I just pray a prayer of dedication, Lord, that we will give ourselves to the kingdom of God for the glory of God. We say, not our will, but let God's be done in my life. Lord, all that is on your heart, we want to do. Father, help us to be ones who know your will, know your voice, know your word. Let us be ones that lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily distracts us, so easily burdens us. Father, I pray against those questions that would keep us from God. And today we just once again say, I'm not going to allow what I do. I will not allow what I do and what happens to me, rather, define God to me. But I'm going to let the word of God define God to me. For some of you, that's the biggest shift that you need today. Allow the word of God to define your God. Not the questions, not the experiences, not the other relationships, but let the word of God define the God of the word. We ask all these things and say, Lord, I just speak the blessing of God upon every person in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.